All right, friends, what's going on? Welcome to Babylon Talmud. Today we are learning Masechta Nida, Perek Daf Samech Aleph. We are going to start on the very first line of Daf Samech Aleph. There is a brand spanking new Mishnah. Without further ado. Shalosh Nashim Shayushenus B'mita Achas V'nimtzadam Tachas V'emtzayis Kulan Tmeos. Oh, if you have three women and they're sleeping in the same bed, okay? And you find Dom under the, under the middle one, right? Yeah, under the one in the middle, right? So they're sleeping next to each other in a bed, right? One, two, three, like that. And then Dom is found under the one in the middle. Well, then they're all Tameh, because obviously it could have come from the one in the middle. Now, it could have theoretically also come from either of the women next to her, and they're just kind of very close, and that's why it looks like it's from the middle. But it really came from one of the other ones. Therefore, all of them are tame because we can't be sure who it came from. Okay, fine. Zeo tachas apnimis shtayim apnimios tmeos vachitzona tehora. Okay, next. So now, the Mishnah is assuming that the bed is against a wall. Okay, so basically, like, let's just say that this is our bedroom. So here's the wall, and then here is the bed. Okay, so you have one sleeping right here. The pnimis, the innermost, near the wall, one in the middle, and then one at the end, right, who's the outside one, okay? So we're saying that if you find Dom under the woman who's sleeping in the innermost position, right next to the wall, well, then you assume that she's for sure Tame, and also the one in the middle is Tame, because maybe it came from the one in the middle, and it just looks like it's coming from the one pnimis. But the one on the outside is going to be tahor, because if it came from her, it wouldn't have been in so far away by the pnimis. Okay, fine. Now, pnimis is fine. Vachitzona tahor. Tachas achitzona. If the dam is found under the chitzona, right under the woman at the position furthest away from the wall, so shtayim achitzonos tmeos vapnimis tahora. So in that case, then the one on the outside position is tame, obviously, because it was found under her. And the one next to her, i.e. in the middle position, is also tame, because maybe it came from her. But the one in the innermost position is going to be tahor, because she's just too far away from the action. Fine. Now the Gemara says, Emasai. When do we say that if the dam is found under the chitzona, the one on the outside position, then she and the middle one are tmeos, but the one on the inside is tahora. Bizman she avu derech margilos amito, avalum avu derech aliyah kulan tmeos. Oh, the Mishnah says, now, this isn't a general rule in every situation. It actually depends how they got onto the bed, okay? If they got onto the bed from the foot of the bed, i.e., they all went onto the bed like in parallel, right? So if we use our example again of this is the wall and this is the bed, okay? So if they kind of came on from over here, and each one just kind of went immediately to their position, so then, okay, that's cool. So then if there's Dom found by the one on the outside over here, then there's no way that it could have gotten over here. But if they all got onto the bed from, like, the side, right, and they all basically climbed over the different positions to get to their own position, right, so the one on the middle, on the pnimi, the one against the wall, actually climbed over where the outside person is in order to get to the wall, well, then they're all tmeos, because it's possible that the dam is actually coming from the pnimi, and the reason why it's showing by the chitzona is because as she passed over the place of the chitzona is when she saw dam, but really it came from her. So therefore, all of them would be tmeos. Badka achas mein v'nimtzeis tahora. If one of they were all sleeping in the bed, and they found dam, and now they're all tmeos. Great. Now, what if one of them did a bedika and said, look, I just checked and I didn't see any, I don't have any dam, right? So, he tahora, ushtaim tmeos. Well then, she's tahora. Look, she did a bedika, she doesn't have any dam, she's tahora. And the other two are tmeos, okay? But gushtaim v'nimtzu tahoros, hein tahoros ushlishis tmeo. And if two of them did bedikos and said, look, we both checked and we're tahora, there's no dam. Well, then they're both tar, and the third one, by process of elimination, is the one who's tameh. Shloshtan umatzu taros kulan tameos. But if all three of them did bedikos, and guess what? As crazy as it sounds, all three of them are tahoros. Well, that's a problem, because the dam must have come from one of them. So there, in that case, we don't know which one it was, and they're all tameos. Because, yeah, I mean, what do you want me to tell you? Dam came from one of them. So even though they're all saying that they're tahoros, it had to come from one of them, so they're all tameos, because we don't know which one it is, because they all say that they're tahoros. Fine. Then the Mishnah says this interesting thing. It says, lema adavar dome, and it gives us this, like, metaphor, which is almost like a carbon copy of our example, of what it's similar to. Okay, great. What's it similar to? Legal tamesh nesayir ben shnei galim tahorim. Just like if you have three mounds of dirt. Now, in this mound of dirt, what makes this different than just any mound of dirt is that this has a kazayis min ames in it. It has a kazayis worth of flesh of human corpse in it. And that makes the gal tame, right? That makes the gal tame, tumas mace. And then what happens is, to complicate things, it gets mixed ben shnei galim tahorim. It gets mixed among two pure mounds, and we don't know which is the impure one. So what do we do? Uvad kuachas mein umitzau tar hutar ushnaim tame. Well, if you did an analysis of one of the mounds, and you see, look, there's no kazayis min ames in this mound, so you can say, okay, this one's tar. The other one, the other two, though, are going to be tame because we're not sure which one has the kazayis min ames. Shnaim umatzu tarin, heim tarin ushlishi tame. If you check through two of the mounds and you found both of those mounds to be tahor, well, okay, then they're both tahor, and it must be by process of elimination that the third mound is the tamei mound. Shlosh tanu matzu tahorin kulan tameim tiv Rabbi Meir. But if you check all three of the mounds and all three of the mounds apparently seem to be tahorin, well, forget it, they can't be all tahorin. We know that there's a size of a mace in there somewhere, so we go back to the initial position, which is that all three of them are now tame, because the kesayis min ames must be there somewhere, and we don't know where. So all of them are in our tame. Shrav Meir Omer, kodavar shehu b'chezkas tuma le'olam hu b'tumaso ad sheyivada lecha tuma heichan hi. Because Rav Meir says that whenever you have a chazaka that something is tame, it remains in this chazaka of being tame until it can be proven otherwise. So therefore, we have these mounds over here, right? And we know they have a chazaka of being tame. We know that there's a kazayis min ames in there somewhere, right? So, and if we have, it gets mixed up with these other ones, so we know that there's a kazayis min ames somewhere. So this chazaka of tuma, this assumption of tuma, remains, and it's somewhere in there, and therefore everything is tame. If you check one of them and it's tar, so it's now tar. But if you find all three of them seem to be tar, that's impossible, because we have this chazaka of tuma, and you haven't, you know, by saying that all of them are tar, that's just, you know, impossible, and that doesn't exactly release it from its chazaka of tuma. V'chacham morim bodegat shemigya lesela ol v'sula. V'chacham say, no, you check it really, really well until you get either to the sela, either to the bedrock, or b'sula. B'sula is ground that hasn't ever been worked before. So, you know, if you get to ground that hasn't been worked before, then you can assume that there's no kazayis min ames there, it hasn't been touched. Zeu. So the Chacham just say, no, if you do a thorough search, then you can, in fact, assume that there's no tumah over there. Very good. That is our Mishnah. Sweet. Let's go weiter in Shas. Gemara. Mishnah Reisha Delo Maflig, Mishnah Seifa Dika Maflig, Amr Biami Bim Mishula Vos. Oh, very good. So, what's the Reisha over here? The Reisha is the Mishnah from yesterday. The Reisha is the Mishnah from Samach Mabez. The Mishnah Samach Mabez says, Shalosh Nashim Shayu Shenus B'mita Achas, V'nim Sadam Tachas Achas, Men Kulan Tumeos. Right. Our Mishnah, the Mishnah yesterday, which precedes this Mishnah, says that if you have three women sleeping in one bed, okay, and you find dam under one of them, doesn't say which one, just if you find dam under one of them, so then everyone is tame. And then we have this Mishnah, right, today's Mishnah, which is saying, actually it depends, was it found under the middle one, the one on the inside, one on the outside, what's the deal? Why the first one, is it just if you find it under one, it's tame, and here it's saying it depends who you find it under. So Gemara answers, Amr Rabbi Ami, Bim Shulavos. So Rabbi Ami says, that it's talking about, so the ratio where it says that if you find under one of them, they're all Tameim no matter what, is where they're kind of sleeping like one on top of the other kind of thing. And therefore, it's impossible to know exactly, you know, who this Dam came from. There isn't a clearly defined middle, inside, outside Viter. Badka achas v'chulei. Oh, so we say that if one of them checked and she was found herself to be tar, so she's tar, the rest of them are tameh, then we give this funny sort of analogy. And what's this similar? It's similar to two mounds that you know that one of them is tameh and you check and then, you know, that whole thing. So the Gemara asks, lamda de misne lemazet dome. Why does the Mishnah need to go into this funny metaphor? Like, I don't know. Like, the Mishnah doesn't usually just say, like, what is this similar to? Oh, this other really similar thing. Like, why over here did we feel the need to do that? So, halchi kamar luhu, Rabbi Meir l'rabbanon. So, what's happening is like this. Rabbi Meir is having a dialogue with the Rabbanon. And he's saying to them, Maishna bedam delo pligisu, umaishna begal de pligisu. Oh. Rabbi Meir is having a conversation with the Chachamim, which is that our Mishnah says, wow, these interesting birds. So our Mishnah says that if you, Bidyuk, our Mishnah says that if all three of these women were to check themselves and all three of them were to find that they are Tahoros, guess what? They're all Tameos because it had to come from one of them, right? Now, the Chachamim agree with that. The Chachamim agree that, if all three of them do a Bedika and none of them find that they have Dam, they're all Tameos. Yet, when it comes to these three mounds, where you know that there was Kzayis Min HaMeis in one of them, the Chachamim say, as long as you checked it real good, it could be Tahor. So why don't you say the same thing by these women, that as long as they do a Bedika and they check themselves well, so they should all be Tahor, right? Meaning, why in one case should they say one thing and the other thing? And that's what's happening in the Mishnah, right? Kilu, Rabbi Meir is saying that when all three women do a bedika and they find that they're tahoros, they're in fact tameos. And then Rabbi Meir then goes on to give this thing about the mounds to kind of ask a kasha on the chacham. And he says, and you know what? This is the same exact thing as by these three mounds, that when all of them turn out, you can't find the tumah in any of them, they're all tameos, right? And therefore, he's saying, the Chachamim make absolutely no sense because they argue when it comes to the mounds and say that, no, as long as they checked it well, they're all Tahoros. No, that doesn't make any sense. This is the same, right? These two cases are the same exact thing. And therefore, it's Rabbi Meir's way of, so Rabbi Meir is bringing this Lamazah Domeh in order to ask a kasha on the Chachamim who argue when it comes to the mounds, yet they agree with him when it comes to these women. Zeh. So back in the Gemara, right? One line after the two dots. This is what Rabbi Meir is saying to the Rabbanon. Maishna b'dam de lo pligisu. How come when it comes to dam, you don't argue on me, and you agree that even if all three of them did a bedika, they're nonetheless all tameh. Umaishna begal de pligisu. And how come by the gal, as long as they check it really well, then they're all going to be taharos? So for Rabbanon, the rabbis are going to respond to Rabbi Meir. Bishlama hasam ema oriv netala. Elohacha. But the Rabbanu will respond to our man and say, no, we are aware of the fact that we say one thing in one place and another thing in the other place. Why do we say what we say? Because when it comes to the women, or let's start the other way around, when it comes to the mounds that have a Kzayis Min HaMeis there, it's possible a raven came and chopped the Kzayis Min HaMeis and flew away from it. So we could say, as long as you did a good check, right, Ad L'Sela Uvsula, right, So then you can assume that you did a thorough check. Where's the Kazayis Min HaMeis? A raven ate it. What are you going to say over here by the Dam? The Dam must have come from one of them, right? And if they all check themselves and all claim that they're Tahoros, it's just impossible. Dam must have come from one of them. Okay. Tanya. We learn in a Braisa. Amreb Meir, Zoktreb Meir. Maisa b'shikma shal kfar saba. Oh, there's a story about a shikma tree from kfar saba. I don't know, is shikma a sycamore tree? I don't know, maybe. There's a story about a shikma tree that was from Kfar Saba. Who's ready for this story? Shemachzikim batuma, and they there was a chazaka that this tree had tuma under it. There must be tuma somewhere in this tree. Uvadku v'lo matzu, and they did a bedika, and they could not find where there is tumah in this tree. So on the one hand, you have a chazaka that this tree is tumah, so it's tameh, right? On the other hand, they cannot find for the life of them the source of the tumah. So liyam nashvav aruach v'hakarto v'nimtzo gugoles shomeis tchuvelo be'ikaro. Oh, and guess what happened? You know, after liyamim, what's liyamim? So liyamim, I think, might mean a year, right? Kilu as Lavan Harami says to Eliezer when he goes to get Rivka for Yitzchak, right? Lavan says teishev anayra itanu yamim o asor, right? And Rashi defines that being yamim is a year, asor is 10 months. So it could be that liyamim means a year, or it just means, you know, over time. But liyamim, at some later point, the wind, a very powerful wind, blew, knocked over this shikma tree, and guess what they found? The skull of a corpse that was stuck in the roots of the tree. So Rabbi Meir is trying to bring this as a proof against the Rabbanan that you can never be too sure. Over there, they did a bedika. They didn't find any corpse. According to the Chacham, you'd be willing, apparently, to say that it was tahor, this tree. Yet, what happened? In the end, it turned out that there was taka. They were correct to assume that this tree was tame, because when the wind blew and knocked it over, they actually found a skull in the roots. So Amulo, Chacham responded to Rabbi Meir, don't bring me a proof from this story of Kfar Saba. Misham Raya, you're bringing me a proof from there. Emer Lobadku, Kol Tzarko. I'll say they did a very sort of superficial kind of check. They would have done a real, you know, deep, clean check, so they would have found this corpse by the roots. And as they said in the Mishnah, they didn't just say any kind of checking. They said, Bodek Achamagia Lesela Olivsula. You gotta go down to the bedstone, to the bedrock over there. And apparently they did not do that here by this tree. Tanya, Amr Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi says, Maisa b'mayra shel sichin. Okay, so there is a story about some kind of myra, some kind of cave. Okay. Shemachzikin batuma uvadgu achegiu lekarka shaisa chalaka kitziporin velomatsu. Right? There was some cave that there was an old tale, right? Rumor had it. This cave is haunted. What does it mean it's haunted? It has a mace in there. There's a cheskas tumah in this cave. We don't know where. They mamish did all sorts of batikas. And he even says, mamish, right? Lekarka shaisa chalaka kitziporin. They mamish, they checked up until the ground that was smooth as a fingernail. Kilu, there's no mason buried in this ground. It's never been worked, right? They did a thorough check, and they could not find the source of this tumah that everyone says is in this cave. The yamim, and then of course, once you know, at one point in time, nichnasu bapoalim pnei hagshamim, a bunch of workers went into this cave because it was raining out to get protection. Then what do workers do when they're bored and they're in a cave? V'nitzu b'kardu moseyen u'matzu machteshes mle'a atzamos. So they took out their work tools and they started getting to work and they were hacking at the cave, and guess what they found? Some kind of crater, some kind of pit that was filled with bones. Boom. So again, we see that these people, they checked, they tried to find the source of the tumah, until they got to a ground that was like as smooth as a fingernail, right? And they did not find any source of tumah. And yet, by some kind of interesting accident, these workers were there because it was raining outside, and they started, you know, hacking away, and they found, look what they found, all this tumah. So Rabbi Meir, again, he's using that as a proof against the Chacham that you can never be too sure, even if you do a good, thorough cleaning. The Chacham are still not convinced. Amrulo mishamraya emar lobad kukol tzarko. They said, look, we'll still say that they didn't check properly. If they would have checked properly, they would have found that crater full of bones. And therefore, the Chacham say, as long as you do mamish a thorough, they maintain that as long as you do a thorough enough check, I don't know what their standards are for how thorough it is, because it sounded like this last one was pretty thorough, but they seem to maintain that as long as you do a thorough enough check, you won't be finding any tumah, and you can assume that it's tahor. Fine. Tanya, we learn in the Braisa, Abishol Omer, Zakta Abishol, Maise Bisela Beis Choron. There was a story by there was some kind of big stony area in Beis Choron. Shemachzikim batuma, that again there was some kind of chazaka that this thing is tameh. V'lo yachlu chacham livdok, and the chacham weren't able to check for the tumah. Why? Mipnei she'aisa meruba, because it was just such a big mass of rock. How could they possibly do a bedika to find the tumah? V'yosham zaken echad, Rabbi Yoshua ben Chanan yashmo. Oh, there was a certain zaken darton. There's a certain zaken over there. Who is the zaken? Rabbi Yoshua. Rabbi Yoshua ben Chanania. That's Rabbi Yoshua. And he had brilliant advice. Amar lo, and he said to them, Haviu li sedinim, bring me sheets, bring me linen. Haviu lo sedinim, they brought him sheets. Visharan b'mayim, and he soaked them in water. Ufarsan aleim, and he spread out the sheets all over this rock formation. Okay, gave it some time to sink into the rock, and then he removed them. Makum tahara yavesh, makum tuma lach. And basically the idea was that any point that was tahor, the ground would be very hard and wouldn't absorb any of the water from the sheets. But any part that there was a mace buried over there would be soft, and it would absorb the water, right? So basically just find the moist parts of the stone, and that's going to be where your mace are. Uvadku umatsu bor gadol male atzamos. Boom. And the taka then checked where the moist spots were. There's a bor male atzamos, and it was full of bones. Zeu. Okay, very good. Tana. So we learn in a brisa, hu abor, that this bor that Rabbi Yoshua ben Chananya found by Beis Choron, is the pit shemile Yishmael ben Nesanya chalalim, that Yishmael ben Nesanya filled up with corpses. Dichsev v'abor she'ishlich sham Yishmael es kol pigrei anashim ashehika biyad Gedalia. That the pit that Yishmael threw all of the corpses of the people that Gedaliah killed. Did Gedaliah hargan? Did Gedaliah really kill these people? Follow Yishmael hargan. Yishmael killed them, not Gedaliah. Elamitoch sha'elo lachush la'atzas Yochanan ben Korach v'lo chash. But because Gedaliah should have paid attention to the advice of Yochanan ben Korach, and he didn't, and because of that, Yishmael killed them. Myla olav akosav kiilu hargan. So the pasuk treats it as if Gedaliah killed him. Fine. Amar Rava says, Rava, hailishna bisha, this lashon hara. If you hear lashon hara about somebody, afapidi lekabule lo mibai, mecha shlemi bai. Even though you don't have to accept it, but you should suspect that maybe there is some truth to it, right? And as we're going to see in the Gemara, right? So if you hear about somebody that maybe he killed somebody, epis, so even though you know it's lashon hara, you don't want to treat it, you don't want to listen to it, but at the same time, you also don't want to completely discard it. Hanu b'nei Galila, there are these people from the Galil. There was a group from the Galil. Dinafak alayu kala dekato nafsha, and some kind of rumor started to come out that they actually murdered somebody. This mob. Also the kamei debitarfon, so they came to Abitarfon. Amule l'tamrinan mar. They said, "Nu, hide us. Don't you see what they're saying about us? They're going to kill us." Amule, he says, "Heichin Ivid, what should I do?" Ilo atamrinchu chazu yasaichu. Well, on the one hand, if I don't hide you, they're going to kill you. And this is just a rumor. It's just lashon hara. I can't, you know, you're not chayiv misa. I can't just immediately, credit the lashon hara. But atamrinchu, but at the same time, what should I do? Should I hide you? But I can't also just hide you, because like they also say that when it comes to lashon hara, even though you can't completely credit it, you also can't completely discredit it. And maybe you did kill the person, and I can't then hide you. So what do I do? So zilu asun tamu nafshaychu. So he says, look, I understand this to mean that kilu, he basically turned a blind eye. He says, look, you know, I can't hide you because I don't know if you did this or not. But at the same time, I can't also, put you in a situation where you're going to get caught and killed. So therefore, I'll turn a blind eye, you go hide yourselves. Which is interesting to see that Rabbi Tarfon was okay with turning a blind eye, but I guess that the explanation would be that, this was a situation, it was a clear delineated situation. Keilu, on the one hand, he can't trust the rumors. On the other hand, he can't completely trust them. So it warrants turning a blind eye, as opposed to a situation where I guess is wrong, you probably shouldn't be turning a blind eye. Okay, fine. Vayomer Hashem Moshe Altira Altira. No, this is by Og. Moshe Rabbeinu the Bnei Yisrael to fight Og, and Moshe Rabbeinu got a shtickle nervous. So the Eibishter tells him Altira, Don't be scared of Og. Michli, Sichon and Og, Ache Havu. One second. Sichon and Og were brothers. De Amarmar, Sichon and Og bnei Achia ben Shamchazei Havu. That both Sichon and Og were children of Achia ben Bar Shamchazei. Oh, okay. So they were brothers. Maishna me Og de kamistafe, umaishna mi Sichon de lo kamistafe. So how come Moshe Rabbeinu was scared when it came to Og, but he wasn't scared when it came to Sichon, right? Right? Moshe Rabbeinu killed Sichon, the giant, and he seemed to be totally cool with that, wasn't nervous or anything. When it came to Og, who was Sichon's brother, who I guess that the assumption in that is that they were kind of similarly powerful, all of a sudden he was scared when it came to Og. How come? So Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, Zok Rabbi Yochanan, Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, Mitshuvaso Shaloso Tzadik, from the response of Moshe Rabbeinu's, we can understand what was going on in his heart. Moshe Rabbeinu was nervous that maybe the zchus of Avraham Avinu would stand to support Og, and that Moshe Rabbeinu wouldn't be able to defeat Og. Shneamar, as the pasuk says by Avraham Avinu, vayavo apalit vayagid laAvraham Ivri, that the palit, the one who survived, the survivor, the escapee, came and he told to Avraham Ivri, to Avraham Avinu, that Lot was taken captive, which is when Avraham went with Eliezer and all his servants to go take back Lot. But Rabbi Yochanan, who is this escapee who told Avraham Avinu this? Ze Og shepalit midor Mabul. This is Og who escaped from the generation of the Mabul. So Moshe Rabbeinu was nervous that the zchus of having run over to Avraham Avinu to tell him about his nephew Lot is what would stand up for Og and make him a very difficult enemy. I forget the word that I was looking for. Not emissary, but whatever. Component, opponent, I guess. Tanu Rabbanan, bottom line of Samach Aleph Amud Aleph. Beged she'avad bo kesem. Okay, so let's say you had a beged, back to Ksamim, okay? Enough of the story times. Back to Ksamim, the fun stuff. So let's say you have a beged, you have a garment, a chaluk, a woman had a chaluk, some kind of garment, and there was a kesem on it. So then she goes swimming, and all of a sudden the kesem is lost. And what's the nafkamina? The nafkamina is that dam nida itself is tame. And if you have a kesem on a chaluk, there's a way that you have to clean it in a specific way in order to get rid of the tumah. And just because you can't see it doesn't mean that it's no longer tame. So basically you have a chaluk, and somewhere on this chaluk was dam nida, and we have to assume it's still there because you didn't properly clean it, but you don't know where it is. So what do? So mavir olav shiva samim manin. So what you do is you use the seven ingredients, basically this scrub that's going to get rid of the dam nida. Umivadlo, you basically scrub the entire chaluk with this, solution that will get rid of the dam nida, because since you don't know exactly where it is on the chaluk, you have to do it on the entire chaluk. Fine. Reb Shimon ben Elazar Omer, Zogt Reb Shimon ben Elazar, Bodko shchunos shchunos. No, so Reb Shimon ben Elazar says that, no, what you do is you check it really, really well, shchunos shchunos, which means three etzbos at a time. I guess that this would be three etzbos, three fingers, right? Check it, mamish, painfully. You check it, and I guess the assumption is that that way you will be able to find where the kesem was, and then you just clean the kesem itself. Of the bo shichva zera, but what if shichva zera gets lost in there? Shichva zera itself, I guess, is clear, and it's much harder to find. So how do you find shichva zera on a chaluk? So if it's chadosh, bodko b'machat. So if it's a new chaluk, if it's new, and therefore it's thicker still, it's not worn out yet, the threads are tighter together, so you have to take a needle and kind of, I guess, keep on poking around in the garment until you find a spot where the needle doesn't go through easily. And that's going to be where the shichvazer has dried up. Shachuk, if the chaluk is already worn out, you've had it for a while, it's worn out, so then bodko b'chama, you put it up to the sun, and you find the place where the sun doesn't shine through easily. That's where the shichvazer is. Tana in shchuna p'chusa mishalosh etzbos. When Reb Shimon ben Elazar said that you check it in shchunos shchunos, what shchunos shchunos? It's in increments of like three fingers. Fine. Tanu Rabbanon, the rabbis taught Beged she'avad bo kilayim. Oh, so you have a beged, you have a garment, and kilayim, basically you have a garment made out of linen, and one thread of wool gets mixed up somewhere in this beged, and you don't know where it is. So now what do you do? So lo yimkrenu l'ovid kuchavim, you can't sell it to an ovid kuchavim, because then maybe the ovid kuchavim will sell it back to a yid. V'lo yasenu mardas l'chamor, and you also can't sell it, you also can't make it as some kind of whip that you use to whip your chamor dart. Aval osa mimenu tachrichin l'meis, but you can make this thing into shrouds for a mace. Amar of Yosef, Zakt of Yosef, Zosomeris, Mitzvos betelos lasa lava. So Yosef says, well, one second, does this apply that mitzvos are going to go away lasa lava? Keilu, right? Because what's going to happen? There's going to be tchias amesim. These people who are buried in the shrouds are going to wake up, and the only clothing they have is this kilayim. So from the fact that this seems to be acceptable, it means that, you know, mitzvos are going to go away. We don't have to worry about kilayim when these people have tchias amesim. So Amalei Abaye v'item Rav Dimi. So Abaye and some sages of Dimi said to Rav Yosef, v'amar Rabbi Mani, amar Rabbi Yana, lo shanu ela l'safdo ava l'kovro aser. Oh. So Rabbi Mani says in the name of Rabbi Yana that when we say that you can use it for tachrichin shalmeis, this beged she'avad bo kilayim, it's only for the hespedim. But to actually bury the mace, you can't use this garment. You'd have to use a garment that doesn't have kilayim, and therefore there isn't, no, mitzvos will still exist, lasid lavo, and these people will be properly dressed without kilayim. Omar lei, to which Rav Yosef responded to Abaye, or Rav Dimi, whoever it was who said that. Lavid mar Allah, but one second, don't we teach about this? Omar Rav Yochanan afilu l'kovro? Rav Yochanan says, no, you can even bury mace in shrouds that have kilayim lost in there. Rabbi Yochanan, the time, and Rabbi Yochanan is consistent with his reasoning. The Amr Rabbi Yochanan, my dichsev, what does the pasuk say? Right, it says in Tehillim, "B'meisim chavshi kmo chalalim shochni kever." Right, David Melech is saying that, you know, it's like I'm a mace who doesn't have to deal with any of the troubles of the actual world. So b'meisim chavshi, says the Gemara, kevin shemeis adam naisi chavshi min hamitzvos. Once a person dies, he becomes free from the mitzvahs. He doesn't have to worry about mitzvahs anymore, and therefore you could bury him in the shrouds. What about Tchias HaMeisim? They could be wearing kilayim. I don't know. Maybe it is like Rabbi Yossi says, that it's not going to be mitzvahs lasid lavo, but that sounds interesting. Amar Rafim bar Papa, Zakta Rafim bar Papa, Amar Rav Chista. Okay, Zakta Rafim bar Papa, name of Chista. Beged she'avad bo kilayim. If you have this beged, right, a beged made, clothing made out of linen, that one thread of wool gets lost in there. Sovo umotur, what you do is, you get some kind of color, I don't know, a blue dye. Get blue dye, and you will, and just dye the garment blue, right? And what's going to happen is, wool and linen don't dye in the same way. So what's going to happen is, if you have a linen garment, and you have a woolen thread there, you're going to be able to easily see which is the woolen thread, because it's going to look different than the rest of the garment, because it's going to dye differently. And therefore, if you find that woolen thread that doesn't belong, just get rid of it. Or if you don't find it at all, then it means that it just fell out. Okay, fine. Amar le Rava, le Rafim bar Papa. So Rava says to Rafim bar Papa, Minale le Savaha, where do you get this from? Amar le Masnisni, said, look, it's Taka Mishnah. Ditznan, Bodik ad shemagia le Sela. You have to check until you get to the bedrock. You have to check really well. The Ileka, Emer, Oriv Natala, and, you know, as we said by the Gal, as we said by these mounds that the Exais Minomais fell on them, you just have to search them really well, and if it's gone, then you assume that a raven ate it. So here also, Kilu, dye it. The dye will show you which thread doesn't belong, and if you don't find any thread, then you can just assume that it fell off. Hachinami, Imra v'chitana ba'adadi lo salak lu tziva. Right? Wool and linen don't accept dye in the same way. V'chemen delo yediyah emar mantar natar. Right? And since, if you dye it all and you can't find any thread that looks different than the rest, you can assume that it fell out. Amar v'acha breder av yeva mishmei de marzutra. Zokta v'acha breder av yeva in the name of marzutra. Hayman de rami chuta de chitana beglime de imra. Let's say you're weaving a woolen shirt, cloak, and you put one linen thread in there. Vinatke v'lo yada inatek ilo natek. And then what you did was you took it out, but you're not exactly sure if you got it all out. Shapir dami, it's fine. It's no big deal. How come it's no big deal? Because mido araisa shatnes k'siv. In the Torah it says shatnes, right? Right. What does the pasuk say? Lo silbash shatnes. Tzemer ufishtim yachtav. Wool and linen together. So what's shatnes? So ad shi yeshua tavu venuz. Oh, until it is shua tavu venuz, which means that it has to be shua means it has to be combed together, right? The linen and the wool, midoraisa, has to be combed together. It has to be spun together into thread, and then it has to be woven together. But in this case, it wasn't combed together, it wasn't spun together into thread, it was only woven together. So in that case, v'rabbanan hu degazu bay. But the rabbanan make a gezeira, and they say that even when it's only woven, you really shouldn't still wear it. But in this case, v'chevim delo yada inatke shari. But in this case, since he removed it and he's just not sure if he got completely removed or not, so again, it's talking about something that's only shanei's midrabanan because it wasn't combed and spun together; it was only woven together. And therefore, if you think that you got rid of it, that's enough to satisfy the concerns of the rabanan, and you can assume that it's okay to wear this garment. Maskefla Ravashi, Ravashi asked the kasha, Amar O Shua O Tavui O Nos, right? But Ravashi says, oh no, maybe what shanei's means is that, no, it's not, it has to be all three of them, combed, spun, and woven. Maybe it's any of them would be asur midoraisa. And therefore, if he's not sure that he got rid of this linen thread from the woven wool, then you have to be concerned about doraisa, and you have to be machmir and say that you can't wear the garment. V'hilchisa k'marzutra. But the halacha is like marzutra, that it has to be all three in order to be shatnez midoraisa. And here, since you think you got it out, it would be permitted since it was only one, it was only woven together. I think what that means is that since kilu, the Torah says it in one word, kilu shatnez. Shatnez meaning all of them together. And therefore, if it's only one of them, it's only going to be shatnez midar abanan. And here you think you got it out, so that should work. Tanur abanan, the rabbis taught. Beged savua mitame mishum kesem. Or if you have a colored clothing, right? Clothing that is colored, are metame mishum kesem. Rabbi Nosson bar Yosef omer einu metame mishum kesem. Rabbi Nosson bar Yosef says no. Colored, right? Kesem are only on white garments. If the garment is colored, then it won't be tame because of kesem. Shelo tiknu bigdei tzivonin leisha ela lahakel akismein tiknu, right? Because they only made the takana by garments of women. Right, colored garments of women, so that the ksamim would be mutarin. My takninu, what is this takana that they made by clothing of women? By what is this? No, ela shlo hutru bigdei tzivonin leisha ela lahaka akismein hutru. Right? No, the chachamim only made mutter the colored clothing for women so that they could be matir ksamim. Michlal da asire. Does that imply that? There was a havmina to say that colored clothing would have been usur for women? What does that mean? Actually, colored clothing would have been usur for women. What are we talking about? Ditnan. Bipumul shal Aspasianus. When Vespasian came to Yerushalayim to take it over, right? Vespasian, I think he was the one who then Taka became a Baal Tshuva, I think. Or was he the one? No, I think maybe he's the one who got called back to go to be Caesar. So Gazu al Ataros Chasanim. So the Chachamim, when Vespasian came, they made gezeiras that Chasanim can't wear special crowns anymore, Vala Erus, and that you can't play drums anymore in Yerushalayim, I guess. Bikshul Gzal Bigdei Tzivonin. They also wanted to say that you can't wear any colorful clothing anymore. But Amri Ha Adifa Kedei Lahakel Kisman. Better that you should allow colored clothing so that we can be maker when it comes to Chasanim of women. Shkoyach to everyone who participated. Zeo, we're done with Taf Samach Aleph from the Beis. Enjoy your days, everyone.